This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We'll talk about the power of living differently. Don't forget, next week is extended night of worship.
Yes, sir.
Extended night of worship is next week. And so that's you. You don't want to miss that. See, you got more enthusiasm for that than I got out of closing the doors and taking up an offering, but that's good. The power of living differently. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We appreciate it. We thank you that we have an opportunity to come together and do something that has eternal impact and has such a great way of producing in our life. Your word is life to us. So we thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is the teacher, that he can make things come alive to us, reveal them to us. Father, we won't leave here the same way we came in. We open up our hearts and our minds to receive. We look to you for answers. We look to you for expression. We look to you, Father, for taking us down ways we hadn't even thought of, but you have all the answers, and we thank you for them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. The power of living differently. We are called to be different from the world around us. Now, I want to talk about that just for a second, because some of you grew up in churches where living differently means you look differently, but let's don't go there right now. We are called to live differently from those around us. Here's one of the very first ways that we are called as the Church of Jesus Christ to live differently is how we treat one another. So I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight. Let's look at this. A new commandment. This is Jesus speaking. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. I thought Jesus said that is the way that people will know that we're his disciples, how we treat one another. And so that's part of the ways that we live differently. I always have said it. You guys do a good job of it. Church ought to be. You heard me say it, and you think, Alan, you're being sacrilegious. I'm not. Church ought to be friendlier than any establishment in town.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay. Show of hands. Before some of you were saved, or maybe now, but you don't have to confess to it, how many of you used to be a bar hopper? You lived in the bars. Just go ahead. My hand is up. Don't worry about this, all right? We're not taking Instagrams. This is my, all right, we're there? All right. How many of you have been in bars that have been very, very friendly and they were happy to see you when you walked in? It might have been artificially induced, but they were happy to see you when you walked in. I think church ought to be a friendly place, how we treat one another. We always get comment cards. I can't tell you how many times we get comment cards. If there's 10 of them that come in, 8 of them mention how you guys treated them. 8. Not the sermon, not the music, not the beautiful stuff. How you treated them. Or it'd be different how we love. Here's the second one. We are to be morally different. You'll like this one. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Any of you had abuse heaped on you because when you got saved, you changed your lifestyle and your friends didn't understand it? I lost friends. I had friends that looked at me like, you're crazy. I had friends that called me, they weren't friends, but people that called me a Jesus freak. And I had friends that, I had a girl looked at me and when I told her I wasn't going to the clubs anymore, she looked at me, she's like, is something wrong with you? I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong. She could not fathom. But there's not something wrong with me, something's changed in me. And I'm a new creation on the inside. I go to clubs all I want to. I just don't want to anymore. Thank you for that. Boy, y'all are enthusiastic tonight. We're gonna have to stick around. It may get better. It really might. All right, here's the next one. So we're to live morally different. And that's not my subject tonight, but here's the third one. How we respond to life needs to be differently. How we respond to life. Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul was writing to the church. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul was writing, he said, we're not to be, he said, conformed to this world. Now, some of you were raised in different kinds of churches. If you were raised, anybody come from a Pentecostal background? Got it? Okay, great. How many of you know that y'all weren't supposed to dress like everybody else dressed? Ladies had to wear the long skirts, right? Couldn't wear makeup. Depending on what branch you came out of. Some of you are like, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. And I mean, it's just, you know, if you're a man, you had to wear a certain kind of clothes. Listen, being conformed to the world is not necessarily how you dress. It's a heart thing. Yeah? It's a heart thing. In other words, I've seen some people dressed proper, mean as a junkyard dog. And then I'll never forget, we had a little girl came in our singles group at Lakewood, and man, she had just gotten saved, loved the Lord. She showed up at a picnic one time, wore short shorts, halter top. It was hot, she was ready. She didn't know any better. You know, and all these ladies were like, everybody rolling eyes. I had a guy pull me aside one time. And when I came in, I was a Wrangler jeans salesman. I was 23 years old. They told me to wear my jeans tight. I said, do it. I'll get that done. I could do it at 23 when the body fat content's a lot lower. I had some guy, Ben, I'm brand new to the Lord. I had some guy taking me to task about how I was dressed. And just told me I ought not to wear my jeans so tight. And told me all, you know. And then this guy named Joe Valdez stepped in. Joe was like this tall, but he was a boxer. He got right up in the guy's face. He said, if he wants to wear his jeans tight, he can wear his jeans tight. And Joe backed him off. And I'm glad Joe backed him off, because that's how young Christians get offended. Hey, listen, I'm more concerned about your heart than your dress. Yeah, I grew with the Lord, and soon I learned I didn't have to wear my jeans that tight. I was more comfortable wearing them a little bit looser, and it worked out a lot better. But the idea is being conformed to this world. Listen, being conformed to the world, Paul, I don't think Paul was talking so much about dress as he was our attitudes and our priorities. Attitudes and priorities, that's a whole lot more important, because that's what's going to happen in the long run. So now I'm going to get to my main point. So living differently. So here's just a little passage out of the book of Philippians that is a great little passage about living differently. It's found in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Let's talk a little bit about living differently. And Paul was talking about living differently. He's writing to the church. So let's start with, we live with a different identity. Starts off with a different identity. Now, people identify with all different kind of things. People identify with their Texan fans. People are Cowboy fans. I've always been amazed. I get more vocal response mentioning Texans or Cowboys than I do, hey, do we love the Lord? You're like, oh. How about those Texans? Hey, listen. Here's the confession. Many of you didn't know this. I used to be a Cowboys fan. Hey! I used to smoke dope too, and I stopped. So all those Cowboy fans are like, okay. But I can remember I had I identified so much with the Cowboys, I would be angry on Sunday if they lost. And I remember I'd so identified with different teams that I could be upset, and Joy's, that's where Joy just learned to come up and give me a hard time. She likes to trip upstairs when I'm watching a game going, is your team winning? She hears me yelling at the television. She knows. Y'all pray for her, because she got a problem. That's a heart problem right there. She's coming after me. But the idea is people identify with things. We identify with their college. They identify with their groups. They identify with a lot of things. Our identity, our number one identity is, I am a child of God. That's number one. That's tough. Now, this always gets people riled up. Do you realize I identify with being a Christian more than I identify with being an American? Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm not done. Because this is the one that gets you. I identify with being a Christian more than I identify being a Texan. Yes. Yeah, see, y'all had to think about that one. Let me think about that. Or identify with being Southern, or identify with being North, or identify. Our identity, our number one identity, that's where we identify with, is being a Christian, is being a child of God. And Paul's talking to them about being a child of God. So we start with a different identity, and we identify with being a child. Romans 8, good scripture, Romans 8 said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's almost a phrase that it means Daddy God. Abba, Father, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's one of the most marvelous things, that after you give your heart to Christ, there's something on the inside of you. Actually, there's someone on the inside of you who is bearing witness to the idea that you are a child of God. And that's just such a wonderful thing. You just have a knowing on the inside. I am a child of God. And that's a marvelous identity. So if we understand that we're a child of God first, and we have to understand our heavenly family responsibilities, we are called to reflect the goodness of God. We're to shine His lights in a dark world. If you're a parent, you will certainly understand what I'm about to say. Your children reflect you. Just smile and look right ahead. I know. especially when they're under your roof, under your authority. When they get out and get on their own, it's not as much. But you know, as a parent, let me just talk about young parents. You're a parent, you're in Walmart, and your child throws a wall-eyed fit in Walmart. Do you go, I love it when they do that. That's my child. No, you're looking at them. You're talking under your breath. See, things have changed. You can't beat them in Walmart anymore. You're really. In my day, you would get the beating going out to the car. It would be like, how many of you know when your child does well in athletics, even these little quiet, sensitive moms are screaming their lungs out, pulling for their child. Why? Our children, we're connected. There's a reflection there. Joy, who is so quiet. I'm the competitive one in the family. And not that that's a surprise to anyone. But what was funny was when Matt was running cross country and his mother showed up. He's running cross country. He's 8 or 9 years old. And Joy shows up and she overheard a mother telling her son, who was Matt's contemporary, you make sure you beat Matt Clayton. And Mama Lion woke up. She looked over at Matt. She said, you better beat that kid. And Matt said, Mom, you know, I don't. She said, I'm not telling you. She said, one, two, or three, but you make sure you beat him. And then she positioned herself on the course. When he came running by, she's like, now, goes. And she's, Joy, y'all think she's perfect. She is not. But that's our children. They reflect us. Do you realize we're supposed to reflect the goodness of God? That's why I enjoy laughing in church. For some people, they don't like to laugh in church. And listen, if we can't laugh in church, where are we going to laugh? If we can't enjoy God and enjoy life, where are we going to laugh? Do we have to go to a comedy club where somebody gets nasty to laugh? I think we can laugh and have a good time just enjoying God, that He's good, but we can learn and laugh together. It's all right. It's okay. If that bugs you, it's like my pastor used to say, if that rubs the cat's fur the wrong way, let the cat turn around. So... Ooh, time. Okay. I've got something I wanted to get to tonight. I'm going to give this scripture. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Jesus refers to His followers as the light of the world. And whether you recognize it or not, you're called to be the light to people around you. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 16. Don't put it up, Kerry. That's just the verse. We're also called, here's another one. We don't hear this as much as we used to. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador for Christ is someone that represents Him. Really, if you think about it, an ambassador lives in foreign soil, but whenever he goes to a foreign soil and they plant an embassy for the United States, that's United States territory, wherever it is. So in other words, if there's an embassy, the U.S. embassy in Italy, that's still, that embassy is considered United States territory. So I was thinking, man, if I'm an ambassador for Christ, wherever I go, that's Kingdom of God territory. And your home is Kingdom of God territory. And we're ambassadors. And how do you know God takes care of His ambassadors? If the United States takes care of their ambassadors, God takes care of His ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. So that's an identity thing. I want to jump to this part tonight because I didn't want to leave it out. How we talk about living differently, how so we have a different identity, how we respond to the negatives is living differently. How we respond to the negatives. Paul, going back to Philippians 2:14, Paul said, do all things without complaining and disputing. So let me just talk to you just for a moment about that. Responding with strength means no complaining. Responding with strength means no complaining. I read an article, in fact, it was just today, they're getting ready to start the U.S. Open, the golf tournament. It's considered one of the most difficult golf tournaments that they play. They have real high rough. I'm not a golfer, but I enjoy watching the U.S. Open simply because it's a real challenge. Well, evidently, some people were complaining because they said that the rough is too high. And one golfer said this. He said, when I hear those guys complaining, he said, that tells me this, that these are some guys I don't have to worry about. And basically what he's saying is, that's a weak response. And if you think about it, complaining is a weak response. And I just look straight ahead, because we've all done it and do it, and it doesn't help us. And here's what, but this is what I'm talking about. This is one of the ways we can live differently. So a lot of times we're talking about reaching our neighbors, reaching our family, reaching our coworkers. One of the ways we can do it is to live differently. And here's one of them right here. Not complaining. Everybody complains now. Everybody complains. But it's never something that God said, wow, you are such a good complainer. He never looked at Israel. Remember, Israel got in trouble for complaining. Let's read the passage. They got in trouble. Every time they came out of Egypt, they started complaining. Exodus 16, 2 and 3. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out in this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Man, these guys complained all the time. They hit a problem, they complained. Hit a problem, they complained. And so when Paul is writing and telling us as believers, as children of God, as ambassadors for Christ, do all things without complaining and disputing, there's a reason behind it. It's not just because it annoys other people. It's because we live differently. But when they begin to say, oh, you brought us out here, let me show you some things that complaining does. You want to stop complaining? We learn our lesson from the nation of Israel. Complaining indicates that we've lost perspective. Oftentimes, we've forgotten what the Lord has done for us. Complaining does not take into account the goodness and the power of God. And complaining tends to exaggerate. I have done it. A lot of times, I've complained with sarcasm. Well, you think somebody would notice that we're here? Well, it never works out. When you start into things, if you ever notice that people complain, a lot of times they exaggerate. I never get this right. This is never going to be, and it blows perspective. And our perspective says that when we have a perspective of God, we're going to stop complaining because we have something else we can actually do. And that's give thanks. Okay, awfully quiet. Are y'all thinking? Are you repenting? What are you doing right now? You're quiet. Why? Listen, because the deal is this. If we're complaining, a lot of times, if you're complaining, you've taken God completely out of the picture. Where is he? And we say, well, Alan, I grew up with a whole family of complainers. Listen, all of us have. It's rare that we're teaching people don't complain. But how do you know when new employees come in, we don't tell them, here's the manual, here's what you do, here's how you complain. So it's not something that draws people to us. It's something oftentimes, if you have a chronic complainer, most people tend to avoid them. And Paul's saying, do all things without complaining and disputing. And so it's as God's children, we have a different take on life. Ephesians 5:20, look at this. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. For all things. So tonight, as we're talking about living differently, people talk about, oh, I want to live for different, I want to live for Jesus. Here's a good one. Stop complaining. Yeah. If you really think about it, it's not getting you answers.
Right.
I've never heard this many people go quiet at one time. It's not getting you answers. Have you ever complained and all of a sudden, here's the answer. I'm just going to complain and complain and complain. And the Lord goes, well, I've heard them enough. I'm tired of hearing. You tired, Gabriel? Yeah, I'm tired too. Let's do something about it. I'm tired of hearing them complain. A lot of times that's how people have gotten things done. They just complain, complain, complain. It's not helping you. It's not speaking life. It's not giving thanks. You've forgotten to be thankful. And what happens is when you complain, we're not thanking. Why am I saying this? Because the world is looking for people who have a positive outlook on life. And as believers, we ought to have the most positive outlook on life because our past has been forgiven. Amen. That's good. And in the future, if I die tonight, I know exactly where I'm going. It's a good place. It's a good place. So I got the past taken care of. I got the future taken care of. And right now, I've still got God who loves me and cares for me and who will help me. And I don't have to live my whole life complaining and arguing when I can say, Lord, I want to thank you that you are good and you are God. And that just helps me with life. If you'll just start giving thanks for stuff. Yeah. But you got to look for it. This one, but by the way, this new character trait will not jump on you. You won't leave tonight and just go, I'm never going to complain again. That's awesome. Life is really good. Praise God. No, it's not going to work that way. You'll have to do something intentional about it. And you'll just have to, one, catch yourself. If you are a chronic complainer, stop. I'll say, why, Alan? Because you are a child of God and you're destined to shine like a light in the dark world. Amen. That's why. If you don't do it for anybody else, do it for the kingdom. Take one for the team. Here's my last one. I want to get to this. Living differently means we respond differently. And here's the last one. We hold on to different things. That one passage there, Philippians 2:16, where he says this. Let me just read it from there. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What I want to talk to just a little bit about is holding fast the word of life. And here's what the Lord just impressed on my heart. We often hold fast to the wrong things. By holding fast, that means we grab a hold of the wrong things. He said, holding fast to the word of life. How many of you have ever had something unkind said about you? And you held on to that. Ever done that? Yes. Y'all look very innocent, so let me just tell you about me. All right. This past week, I was in a conversation with someone, and this individual said, yes, so-and-so said this about you. It was a lie. It was dishonorable. It showed, this individual basically said I had no character and no integrity. And when I heard it, I just went, ha, ha, ha. That's ridiculous. And I went on. But a little bit later on, I found myself thinking about what that person said. And I wasn't just thinking about it. I was thinking about it. I was working it. I know I'm the only one, so just indulge me just for a moment. I was working it, man. Now I'm working it. And now I am seeing myself in a position where I get to address the person who said that, and I've got a word for them. What am I doing? I am holding fast to something that's not working life in my life. And if you know what happens is, we realize we're holding on to the wrong things. Someone said something negative, we hold on to that. Someone did this, we hold on to that. This has happened in the past, we hold on to that. Paul said, hold fast to the word of life. He didn't say hold fast to every negative, horrible thing that's ever happened to you. And so when these things begin to happen, we have some choices we have to make. And oftentimes I'll do this. I say, Lord, I can't deal with that. You deal with that. You take that. I'm not going to do it. And sometimes I have to do that repeatedly because the negatives tend to stick with us longer than the positives. So this is why I've got a solution tonight. I'm not going to leave you without a solution. So instead of saying, okay, because have all of us, if we're honest, have all of us done this?
Yes.
We have. And have you ever woken up at night and started thinking about it? And then you get up, it's like, What's the matter? Nothing? Nothing. Nothing. No. What's happened is we've held on to the wrong thing. So here's the deal. How do you hold on to it? You hold on to it by thinking about it and talking about it. Thinking about it and talking about it. Thinking about it. Jesus said, take no thought. Say. So if you start talking about it, oh, well, I'm over it. But you ask him and it just spills out of him. You're talking about it. So what do? If we can hold on to something that works death, we can hold fast to the word of life, which means you need a scripture. Everyone needs a scripture that they can go to by default. So when your mind starts just to work that thing and go over that thing and that negative and what's going on, you need a place you can go. And you've heard me allude to this, and I really think the Lord just keeps trying to tell us this. You've heard me talk about Mark Rutland, who did the Lord's Prayer. You've heard me talk about the 34th Psalm, 1 through 10, that joy takes Proverbs 3:5. She takes 3:5, trust in the Lord with all my heart. What am I doing? We need to have a scripture that when your mind starts to go there, you can grab a hold of this. For example, here's one. I love this verse right here. It's Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, here's how you take hold of that. I walk around the house sometimes, and I'll just walk around. Joy's not there. She's off doing something else. If you're empty nesting, it's easier because you don't have to explain it to your kids. So go, what are you saying, Mommy? What are you saying, Dad? Just talking about, I'm just taking the scripture. I walk around the house. I'm getting coffee in the morning. The Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. What am I doing? You say, well, that sounds weird. Is it weird or is it just biblical? It's biblical. But biblical is different from how we've been raised up. And oftentimes we're raised up to think the problem, talk the problem. They said this to me, and I'm going to say this to them. They ever say this to me again, this is what I'm going to do, and this comes to. And you're working it. And a lot of times you never get the chance, but it causes you how much undue grief because you held on to it. How many of you know there are things in our life right now all of us need to let go of? Things that people have said to us, we need to let go of. They're not helping us. Things that people have done to us that we need to let go of. So, Alan, if I forgive them, that means I say it's okay. No, if you forgive them, that's how you get out of that. That's how it stops harassing you. I hate snakes with a passion. Big snakes, little snakes, non-poisonous, I don't care. If it's a snake, I hate them. Someone walked up to me today and said, hey, Alan, I've got a snake for you. I'm like, no. And like, dude, I worked really hard to get this snake for you, and it's here it is. It's just a black snake. I don't care what kind of snake it is. I want it away from me. And if that snake's not away from me, I'll get you away from me. I hate snakes. I don't like snakes at all. I'm not going to take a snake. So if you offer me a snake, I'm not taking the snake. So it won't hurt you. Yes, it will hurt me. Because when I'm running uncontrollably away from that snake, it's going to hurt me. I could do something bad. Do you realize there are thoughts that are more dangerous than snakes? Y'all didn't hear me. I know y'all didn't hear me. There are thoughts that are more dangerous than some snakes. There are thoughts that'll get in you about your spouse. There are thoughts that'll get into you about your future. There are thoughts that'll get into you about what other people said. And you ought not to go back to that church because no one likes you. And all these things. And the enemy's constantly bringing thoughts. And these are not the things we're to hold fast to. The things we're to hold fast to is you need some life to hold fast to. And if it's negative, if it brings you down, if it makes you angry, there's no life in it. Yes. Let go. Amen. Let it go. Well, what do I do when I let it go? You need a scripture. Everyone can memorize at least one scripture. Everyone can. Hey, how about this one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a great scripture. How about if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creator. What am I doing? You say, well, Alan, I'm just sitting walking around speaking that scripture. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you're speaking life, and you're holding on to life, and you're thinking thoughts of life. It's a better deal. Let me ask a real quick question. How many of you on a normal, we'll just call it a normal Wednesday night, you feel better when you leave than when you came in? Is that true? It's not because I'm awesome. It's because for about an hour, your thoughts went better. And you got a hold of some life. No need to leave it in here when you go out there. Take it with you. Take it with you. Does that make sense? Does that help anybody? Tell you what, let's do it. Let's do this. Let's just bow our heads. And I'm going to do this. If you got a thought that has just been absolutely plaguing you or something someone's done, just by an act of your faith tonight, say, Lord, I'm going to let that go right now. Lord, I give it to you. And then let's just say this out loud. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Father, thank you that your words bring life, and I thank you for those today. Many of us just let go of stuff, Father, that has been hurting and biting and plaguing them for too long. Thank you, Lord. That never has been your plan or your will. Thank you, Lord. We can hold fast to words of life that lift us, that encourage us, Father, that make a difference in our life. I thank you for that. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came in here this evening and said, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with God, I know that. He knows that. And I want one, though. I want a relationship with Him. It's through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how you get there. It's not by works. Or maybe you're here and said, I knew the Lord and I've gotten away from Him and I want to come back. Well, we're going to say a prayer and sitting right in your chair. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But right where in your chair, you can have the most sweet encounter with God by praying the very simple prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, I want a relationship with the Lord or I want to come back to Him, I won't end on this prayer. Would you pray for me real quickly? Just slip your hand up real quick across the auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Yeah, all over. Great. Wonderful. Super. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to so badly, and you thought, oh, I missed my chance. No, you didn't. You can pray this prayer with us right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.